Please turn with me, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 9. I want to read three separate portions for you this evening. First found in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The second scripture in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and I'll read beginning at verse 30. I'll read you acquainted with the context here when Paul is preaching in the city of Athens on Mars Hill. Verse 30 of Acts 17, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he had appointed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Now the third and final scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, read verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. You notice perhaps in the reading of these three separate portions of the Word of God, we have a word that is common, and that word is appointed. Appointed. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, we read that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's the sinner's death. In Acts chapter 17, and verse 30, God now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. There is the sinner's doom. And then we read there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, that God hath not appointed us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is the sinner's deliverance. Now in the time remaining this evening, I'd like to bring some thoughts before you from the word of God relative to the sinner's death, the sinner's doom. And thank God the sinner delivered. First of all, you know as well as I do that if I were to stand out here on one of the busiest intersections in the city of Vancouver and ask passersby what they would consider to be the most repulsive subject they could think about and would care to talk about, there's no question in my mind of whether it would be the subject of death. No one likes to think about death. No one likes to talk about death. And yet there's much said in the Word of God about death. Every beat of our heart, every step we take, every breath we breathe is taking us closer to the inevitable particle called death. We're going to die. We're going to die. Now mankind, including the speaker, will do everything possible to prolong the inevitable. We'll spend millions and billions of dollars in this country and elsewhere on doctors and prescriptions and wonder drugs and organ transplants, you name it, we'll spend money in order to prevent the inevitable death. But my friend, we're still going to die. We're still going to die. We can't help it. It is appointed unto man who wants to die. In fact, the only people in this audience tonight, in fact, the only people on the face of the earth tonight who are not sure they're going to die are those who are saved by the grace of God, who sometimes say that we're not looking for the undertaker, we're looking for the undertaker. We're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to take us home, to be with him like him throughout the endless ages of all eternity. Now you, if you know your Bible, know that this man Adam lived to be 930 years of age. But he died. Noah lived to be 950 years of age. But he died. A man called Methuselah, the oldest recorded individual, lived to be 969 years of age, but he died. He died. Why? It is appointed unto man once to die. Now there's a difference between the death of a Christian and the death of an unsaved, of course. Read over there in Psalm 116 and verse 15, the precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now why is it precious? Well, there are many reasons. I will suggest one. That saint that dies has been purchased by the precious blood of Christ nearly 2,000 years ago. And slowly but surely, the entire purchased possession will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, we love. We're told again over there in 2 Corinthians 5 and 8 that the absence from the body is present to the Lord. And in Philippians 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Verse 23 is far better. In fact, in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, and verse 13, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, from henceforth say the Spirit, for they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So my friend, if you're unsaved in this gathering tonight, I want you to get a hold of that fact. You're going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. Though the sad part about it is, of the people that are dying today, mind you, people are dying all over the world at the rate of 90 every minute, 5,400 every hour, 130,000 every day, and as statistics hold up, and I'm sure they will, this one day of grace, my friend, 130,000 souls into eternity, and one year, over 47 million go off into the great beyond, and the sad part about it is the fact that those who are accountable to God for their sin, they go down to hell, and the ultimate lake of fire. Now, some people don't believe that. My friend, listen. I read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 13 and verse 14. Enter ye into the straight gate, because wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it. Now, who would dare say that there's a broad way, going down to a place called hell, and ultimately with God? And we read that Eve was tempted, she took the forbidden fruit, and she also gave it to her husband Adam. Man fell. And I believe the foremost fast words in all the English language are found in verse for love and righteousness. He's the one that tells us that people are on the broad road, and there are lots of them. People are on the narrow road, and contrastingly, we have very few who are going to have that light eternal. In fact, if everyone on the face of the earth today who's heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which would include all the Catholics, all the Protestants, all the Jews, and many in between, but if they were all going to heaven, and we know they're not, but if they were, only 35% of the world's population of 5.25 billion people in present time would be on their way to heaven. How sad that is. My friend, don't you worry about those statistics. You worry about you as an individual. Nothing. I read over there in James 1 verse 15, lust when it is conceived, bring it forth sin. Sin when it is finished, bring it forth death. And Paul tells us in Romans 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Again, we're told over there in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. My friend, you're going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. Once to die. My, what a solemn thought. Friend, up until now, you've been the one that has gone to the mortuary and looked upon the cold, still form of a loved one, perhaps. Mother or father, brother or sister, or someone that you've been associated with in business or in school, whatever it may have been. Friend, tomorrow night, it could be your body lying in that casket. And if it were, where would your soul be? It is appointed unto man once to die. And perhaps you don't realize it, but maybe several times during your little span of life, you've come close to dying and didn't even know it. I know I've often stood on the street corner waiting for the traffic to see the light to change, waiting to go across. And how easy it would be for someone to jostle me in that little crowd and push me on the wheels of a vehicle. It happens every day somewhere in the United States, or perhaps in Canada too. I told over there in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3, there is not a step between me and death. You think of driving along the highway, especially on a two-lane highway. There you are, you're going 40, 50, 55 miles, whatever it might be, and you're only a few inches, perhaps even a foot or two, from an oncoming car, automobile, whatever it might be. Just in a moment of time, you could be ushered into eternity, and it happens every day. Granted, it is appointed unto man once to die. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14, we read, therefore we must needs die. And there is water spilled upon the ground that cannot be gathered up again, neither does God respect any person. Yet the peace of eyes and knees that is banished cannot expel from him. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 14, behold, God says, pay attention, behold, thy days approach, that thou must die. Friend, listen, how would you like to get the message tonight? As you sit in this gospel meeting, the King Hezekiah got back in Isaiah 38 first one. Thus say the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Wouldn't that be a solemn message?
Sure.
How about that rich farmer who was so blessed with God that we read about over in Luke chapter 12? Why, God gave him so much, he began to talk to himself. And he's saying, I'm going to tear down my barns, I'm going to build greater. I'm going to fill them all up with the goodness and grace of God poured forth in the harvest. And then he said, I'm going to say to my soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And what did God say? Thou fool. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Friend, I hope you don't die a fool. I hope you don't die a fool. Like that man of whom we read back in 2 Samuel chapter 3. There we read there in verse 33, how that David stood before that stone site there. This young man called after it died. He could have escaped. He could have gone to the city of Hebron, the city of refuge. He didn't do it. Here's what he says. Die after as a fool died. Die after as a fool died. Friend, if you die without accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I tell you in love for your soul, you're going to die as a fool. I hope not. Proverbs 15 and verse 24 reads, the way of life is above to the wise. It might be far from hell and evil. So I trust that you'll be wise tonight. Because it would be a tragic thing, especially for some of you who are young. You've been raised in a Christian home. Maybe perhaps you've even been prayed for before you were born. You know the gospel person. Perhaps just as well as anyone here, not tonight might know them. And yet you're still under the condemnation of wrath of a sinning God. My friend, don't die old. Don't die like that young man of whom we read over there in 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 33. We read there with Joab brought the message back to King David. He told him about his son Absalom that had died. There we read, and the king was much moved. And he went up to the chamber over the gate. And as he went, he was like, oh, my son Absalom, Absalom, my son, would God that I had died for thee. I believe that would be the language of any Christian parent if they looked upon the cold, still form of a young boy or girl raised in a gospel hall, that family, so to speak, in a Christian home, and died without Christ. Died after as a fool died. Would God that I had died for thee. Friend, I hope you don't die as a fool. You know, a very solemn verse of Scripture is found in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 29. Here's what we read. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. God says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Friend, have you ever considered where you would be if you were to die? Have you? How much time out of the many years that God has seen fit to give you, how much time have you given to consider your latter end? Well, maybe you haven't even taken 10 seconds of the life that God has given you to consider your latter end. So I want everyone in this auditorium tonight, including the speaker, to take the next 10 seconds to consider your latter end. Oh, that they were wise. That they understood this. That they would consider their latter end. It is appointed on a man once to die, and after this, judgment. Wasn't that what we were told in that second scripture over in Acts chapter 17? Now God commandeth all men everywhere. Did you hear that? All men, everywhere. Catholic, Protestant, Jew, Irish, Scots, or Pole. It doesn't make any difference whether you're poor, young, or old. All men, everywhere, to repent. In other words, you've got to change your mind, my friend. There may be someone here tonight, and you honestly believe you're being fair for heaven because you've been baptized. My friend, listen, there are millions of souls down in hell tonight, and they're crying for the water they were baptized in. Perhaps you're saying, well, I went forward to an altar when I was just a young boy or a young girl, or even an adult for that matter. My friend, listen, there are millions of souls down in hell tonight. They got to an altar. They never got to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, in the presence and fear of God tonight, in what or in whom are you depending? It is not in the shed blood of Christ. You don't repent, my friend. Change your mind about the sinfulness of sin and the holiness of God, and accept God's salvation in the person of His Son. I tell you again, in love for your soul, you're going down to a lost sinner's hell, and you'll weep, and you'll wail, and you'll gnash your teeth, and you'll have no one to blame but yourself. It is appointed unto man once to die. That's not the end of it all. After death, the judgment. So God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. By that man we have today, where He has given assurance unto all men in that He has raised Him from the dead. As sure as there is a living, loving Savior at the right hand of the Majesty on high tonight, there's judgment ahead. There's judgment ahead. We're told over there in Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared to meet God, my friend? Are you? You may not be prepared to meet God, but I want you to know God is prepared to meet you. In Psalm 9, verse 7, we read, the Lord hath prepared His throne for judgment. For judgment. You may be too proud tonight to humble yourself as it were before God and acknowledge you're a sinner deserving to go down to hell, and that Christ died for you. I want you to know, my friend, that even though you may be too proud tonight to look by faith at Calvary and behold the Lamb of God bearing away your sin in His own body on the tree, there's going to be a day when you'll behold Him. You'll see Him, all right. You'll see Him. He Himself tells us in John chapter 5, verse 22, the Father judgeth no man, but He hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Isn't that clear? If we read Revelation chapter 20 there, we're told there in verse 10, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were opened. My friend, I believe that one of the books that's going to be opened is the Word of God. You might have little or no respect tonight for God's book, the Bible. No regard, no esteem for God's book. My friend, there's going to be a time when you're going to hear the Word of God again. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. There's judgment ahead. Now I know how it is. I was young once, and I used to listen to the devil when he told me, well, you wait till you get a little older. Then you can maybe think about dying and judgment and things like that. Then you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Friend, listen. God has a special warning for you who would listen to a lie like that. Here's what He says over in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Did you hear that, young man, young woman, or older person for that matter? God says, go ahead, rejoice. Rejoice, have a good time. Do whatever you want to do. Do your own thing. Let your eyes perceive anything they want to behold. Let your feet take you anywhere at all. Look up, he says, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. I hope there's no one here tonight that you're mocking the gospel. I hope you're not making fun of this poor old preacher of the gospel who is trying as best I can and led by the Spirit of God and God's Word to bring before you the fact that you're going to die and you're going to face judgment if you die in your sins. Listen, my friend. Here's what we read in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 23. God says, turn you with my reproof or warning. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched forth my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have said it not all my counsel, and would not my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When the spread of anguish come upon you, then you'll call upon me. I'll not answer. You'll seek me early. You'll not find me. Why? Because you hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. My friend, let me tell you the love for your soul again tonight. You're not even a candidate for God's salvation unless you have a reverential fear of the one in whose hands your very breath is. Reverential fear of God. I read in Psalm 85 and verse 9, surely his salvation is nigh unto all them that fear him. In Psalm 103 and verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. That fear him. Allah, you have a reverential fear of God. Don't you realize, my friend, that God could cut you down in your sin and the speed in which you're sinning? In fact, if I believe that it were possible tonight for an angelic being to come down from heaven and stand behind you in the seat in which you're sitting and whisper in your ear the date of your death, whether it's tonight, next year, or 10 years from now, I believe that just knowing that date of death could cause you to slither off that chair onto the floor in a dead faint. You're going to die. You're going to die. And after death, the judgment. What a song song. After death, the judgment. And I know that some people think that the death is the end of it all. I had a relative die within the last year or so, and he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. Well, I'll tell you one thing. There are no atheists in hell. Not one. Not one. Well, that's what he went all right. But 5 seconds after they died, they believed in God. Too late. Too late. It is appointed that a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, I've been a miserable preacher of the gospel tonight, and all I had to do was to tell you you're going to die. And there's going to be judgment, which means hell and a lake of fire. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be very happy about that. But what was our last and final scripture here, this third scripture? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm pulled over there in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, where God says, warn them from me. And in verse 11 of that same chapter, he said, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his evil way and live. Turn ye, for why will ye die? In other words, repentance again. Repentance again. You've got to turn around. Think you need to have it by good work? You've got to get rid of that preconceived idea. You won't find it in the Word of God. Look at it. Look at it logically, my friend. Apart from it scripturally, look at this idea of good works getting you into heaven. Look at it. Look at it logically. If you and I could get to heaven by baptism, confirmation, dedication, joining a church, singing in a choir, teaching Sunday school, preaching the gospel, reading your Bible, saying your prayer, keeping the golden rule and the Ten Commandments. If you and I could get to heaven by doing all of that and more, and answer me one question, why did the Lord Jesus Christ come from heaven? Why was he born a virgin called Mary? Why did he live a sinless life on earth? Why did he die in a shameful and ignominious death at Calvary Cross nearly 2,000 years ago? If you and I could get to heaven, apart from having faith in the shed blood alone. No, my friend. There's only one way to heaven, and we're told here, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way. Isn't that what he tells us in John 14 and 6? He says, I am the way, not one of the ways. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Again, in John 10 and 9, he says, I am the door. Not one of the doors. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I thank God tonight I'm saved. I'm as sure of heaven as though I were already walking the street of gold. Why? I've been delivered from the wrath to come. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter tells us in Acts 4 and 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other. Why? For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Friend, listen. Would you not be wise tonight? Consider your latter end. Consider the sinfulness of sin and the holiness of God. and look by faith to Calvary, and there see the Lord Jesus Christ dying in your guilty room and in your stead. Friend, time is running out. Time is running out. The day of God's grace is quickly drawing to a close. Every indication in the world tonight points to the imminent return of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one prophecy needs to be fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the air. The claim from the world is on. It may be tonight. There are some of you who've heard that for many years, and you've allowed the devil to cause you to put it off. And he's the one that tells you to put it off, you know. Over there in Luke chapter 8 and verse 12, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved." That's what happens after every gospel meeting. I've seen it. Last Lord's Day I saw it. Solemn gospel message was preached, I believe, and yet there were those who left us. And within a moment of time, you might say, there they were, playing around with their friends. The devil will always snatch the word out of their heart. My friend, listen. Time is short. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, God says, pay attention. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now there might be someone here tonight, you say, well, I might get saved the next time. There may not be a next time. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And written two chapters later on, he says there in chapter 29 and verse 1, he that being often reproved or warned, hard in his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Friend, listen. Love for your soul again, I remind you that if you reject the love and the mercy and the grace of God expressed in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death at Calvary's cross, the only alternative is the wrath of God. Everyone in this gathering here tonight can be found in John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I'm in that part. He that believeth on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And in Job 36 and verse 18, we read, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, and a great ransom cannot deliver thee. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, listen, whether you realize it or not, if you leave this gospel meeting tonight without accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're calling God a liar. You say, I wouldn't do that. Well, some of you have been doing it for years. Here's what we're told in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you to believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. How do I know I have eternal life tonight? Do I feel saved? No. No. I know I'm saved because God says so. It's a question of taking God at His word. My entire eternity in heaven is dependent upon the truthfulness of God, and God cannot lie to you. I read again where the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth not shall be damned. Again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, all shall be damned who believe not the truth. So there it is, my friend. You're either going to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took your place at Calvary and died for your guilty room instead, or else you're going to reject that truth and go down to the lost in hell. My friend, if you do, you'll remember being down in hell, and you'll remember being in this gospel meeting tonight, and you'll remember me telling you that's exactly where you would be. Why? Because you won't accept the love of God. You won't accept the mercy and the grace of God expressed in His Son, and that precious blood that flowed for your sins. God has not appointed you to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, if you don't remember anything else I say tonight, remember this. God loves you. God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul tells in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Friend, the only thing I'm depending upon tonight to take me into the heaven of God is the blood. Blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. Friend, you can be saved tonight. You can have the assurance of God's salvation if you'll simply, first of all, acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died. And we're all sinners. I know better than you. You're no better. And we're all sinners. I know better than you. You're no better than me. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. And you must believe that there's absolutely nothing you can do to save your own soul. And if there was, then why did Jesus die? And you must believe that when he died on Calvary's cross and shed that precious blood, he was dying in your guilty room and in your sin or in your place. If you believe that with all of your heart, the Word of God, not I, but the Word of God says you're saved. Not only for time, but thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we bow in thy presence again tonight to thank thee for thy beloved Son and for all thy goodness and grace expressed in him and his death at Calvary's cross. Lord, we thank thee for having extended the day of grace so that others might come to know him, whom to know his life eternal. Our God, we know that salvation is all of God from beginning to end. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build. Thy Son could declare that great doctrinal truth concerning the fact that no man can come to thee except the Father which sent me draw him. Lord God, we trust that even now the Holy Spirit of God might bring both conviction and conversion to some of our gathering tonight. Give them the rest of our peace so they find it in thy beloved Son, for we ask it in his name. Amen.